For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Hey, beautiful Sounds Planet community. I have to share something really beautiful today with you. I have a beautiful, amazing guest here, Barbara Vega. Barbara is just one of these awesome people I met in my time as an activist, and I really feel connected to her because she has so much to share for this world, with this world, with us. And I really want to give you, Barbara, the opportunity today to share your voice with our community. So welcome in our podcast.
Thank you, Meg. It's really a big pleasure to be here with you after so long, right? So many years in different campaigns. We have been involved working for Sea Shepherd, and also, you know, just like with our own passions, united all together from different nations, different people from all over the world with one purpose, right? Defend the oceans and defend life. So it's really nice to be here with you today.
Thank you. It's really an honor to me. I mean, you are, you do so many incredible and many different things as well. I mean, you're a filmmaker, a photographer, an explorer, a reporter, a sailor, and mainly as well an activist. So you do combine all of these things in your activism. What happened in your life, or what was a story? Can you tell us something? Why did you even start this? Why did you become an activist? Why do you care so much for this world?
Well, to begin with, I'm a tropical creature. I'm a Brazilian woman. Since I was a little girl, the ocean was always there for me. It was always connected with the ocean somehow, for holidays, for weekends, all the free time. But also even going to school, I always like look at the ocean. So it was a big company for me, for my thoughts, for my feelings. So I'm deeply connected with this big water that it's well, most of the planet, right, around us. And I think it was this big passion that was the main start for me to start to look at more closer the complexity of the ocean, from the beauty, from the biodiversity, from all the species that we even don't know that exist underwater. But also the worries I was starting to, when I was starting to realize the quantity of plastic and garbage, I was also seeing on my way, doing trekking with my friends, and you know, the way I was exploring differently the ocean, looking at the ocean. So yeah, when I was a teenager, when I was 14, I started volunteering for Greenpeace. It was like, one of the things that I thought would be important for me to be connected with a bigger organization, because doing beach cleanup with my friends was such an amazing experience. Because like, imagine you were just like between five friends, and then suddenly I look at around me, I had 200 people together doing beach cleanup. So it was really great, this feeling of collective power. And then the first organization I thought at the time as a teenager was Greenpeace. So for many, many years, I was doing volunteer work for them, and the opportunity to jump in the boat, the Arctic Sunrise vessel, came to me when I was 21, and then my life, it changed forever. And it's great, right? Because I, so many doors opened for me, understanding that there were so many people from different nationalities just doing the same as me. So my horizon was starting to change it, and the energy and the intensity I wanted to put to preserve Mother Earth, it was just so clear and even more stronger than I thought. So I would say that that was my started, and it's still the same pretty much. And this passion, it just grows. And of course, the worries as well, right? Because the situation in the planet, we know it's not going in the best way. But also I see through educational programs and lectures I give, that people are more open and interested to talk about these subjects. And when I remember when I was a teenager, people were probably like, it's not so bad, as people were saying, oh, maybe it's a bunch of hippies, just
I know so much what you mean. I mean, I felt it too, so many times, so many years, even completely.
Yeah, so and then for me it was the only possible way to save Earth. I mean, I have it very clear in my mind, in my heart, that I might not see the change, the real change we need to see while I'm alive. And it's a big commitment to keep doing it, even if I'm not going to be able to see it, because I think it's going to be pretty difficult to stop the world unless you have another pandemic. I don't know.
Yes.
Or this one we're living now, it gets worse, which of course we don't want that. But yeah, apparently we have to face it, like we as human, we have to face something really, really strong that stops us to actually think about and change. But yeah, we still have big communities, the industry, and this is a big challenge, right, for all of us.
Yes, completely. I can remember, I mean, I met Barbara when I was in the Faroe Islands, and after I was arrested, you filmed, you interviewed me, you made different videos as well for this campaign, Sea Shepherd campaign on the Faroe Islands to stop the Grindadráp, the killing of pilot whales. And there you told me the story of your own arrest, because you got arrested once too. I think that was quite a crazy one. I can remember still how you explained me how the how your arrest was going and how the prison where you have been inside has been, and that was not an easy time. Okay, do you want to share a bit of that? Why did you why have you been arrested? What did you do? What happened there?
Yeah, well, actually I was arrested a few times, Meg. It's not the only one, you know. Here we are, criminals on podcast. You know, anybody there? Please, or someone being in jail. Well, it's
jail, two call, jail sisters talking to each other, sharing jail stories.
Sharing jail stories. Maybe we can make another podcast.
I think so too.
Yes, no.
Yeah, I think so too.
Maybe we can jail to save the planet. Join us.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the most intense experience, well, it's been a few under this over, I don't know, 20 something years of activism, right, in between forest and ocean as main topics for me in my work. But the first arrestment was quite intense. It was the first international, actually, not the national, because national was in Brazil. It was more mellow. I left in the same day, but and I remember a campaign. It was in 2006. We were in St. Kitts. It's an island in the Caribbean. And we were there during the International Whaling Commission, which happens every year to discuss how many whales can be killed for the international, you know, research or whatever they say, right? We all know that it's all commercial and this research, scientific research never really happened, right? Yeah, so I was there with other activists. We entered to the island without having a permission because they didn't allow us, knowing that it was a Greenpeace ship coming. And I remember there was me and other maybe six or seven activists with me. And then we did a direct action, but, you know, just in front of the hotel or the discussions on whaling and quotes or whatever has been put it for the press. And yeah, and then we decided to put 800, more or less 800 whale tails made in cardboard, which was the number of the whales that were killed the previous year. That was painted in black in this cardboard. It was written RIP, rest in peace, right in front of this fancy hotel where the discussion was happening, the International Whaling Commission was happening. So it was a quite intense arrestment because the police was not really like, they were more or less undercover. Some of them were quite rude, you know, with the activists, like pulling them from their hair, you know, and they're just a worst way as possible. It's actually on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, I look at my face so young. I was 21, right? I was like, oh my God, okay. And then I was not really well seen from one of the policemen because I was one of the last girls, you know, like being really tough and staying there to the last moment as possible to bring basically awareness from this action and, you know, look in the camera's eyes at the time. I was behind the lenses, actually in front of the lenses before I go behind the lenses with my filmmaking and photography. And yeah, it was a quite intense 2 day in a solitary confinement, not knowing what was going on with my colleagues, my friends. But yeah, luckily 2 days later, I had something to eat. I could go to the toilet, but
2 days later, yeah. I mean, two days later, let you go to a toilet and they give you food.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know.
Yeah, that was quite intense action. It changed me as well because I was, you know, like full of energy, right? As all young activists have, and all this energy that we put into, like, if not now, when, you know?
Yes.
The oceans are dying and the whales too. So it was the best way I could share my my feelings there. And of course, you know, my big commitment to life. So yeah, so that was a pretty intense experience. I explain in more details in my book, which is a compilation, let's say, of several stories in the 7 years I lived at sea. And yeah, all the stories, all the ships have been sailing for conservation, and you know, and also great people I have the chance to meet and work together from different organizations, right? Also Sea Shepherd when we met. Mm-hmm. And then on my own sailboats, which I sailed from Malaysia to Turkey.
Really amazing. I know your book, I tried to say the real name in your language. Siete años en siete mares, is right?
Yes, Sete Anos em Sete Mares. It's 7 years in seven seas. Uh-huh. It hasn't been translated yet. So guys, please, if you know any publishing house interested to translate this book, all these activism stories from the Amazon to Antarctica in more than 80 countries, let me know.
This is amazing. 80 countries. You traveled 80 countries with the sailing boat mainly.
85 in total, 85. Yes.
That's really amazing. I mean, you saw many different ways of living and many different, yeah, everything. I mean, traditions, like traditions which are maybe purely beautiful ones, and as well the opposite traditions, which might be just like people hold on to traditions and not knowing or not thinking about that those traditions might kill our future. What was the in this 7 years? I mean, that might be a hard question, but what was the most intense time you faced, or do you have any story what you want to share with us? One thing that was really positively or negatively a really intense time?
Mm-hmm. Well, so many. When I came back to Brazil after these 7 years, I was like, oh my God, looking at the, you know, more than 60 notebooks with so many stories, because I always have a notebook with me. It's like my best company. It doesn't matter where I am, what time it is. It's just this safe place, almost like a therapy, where I can just, you know, put everything out there without worrying about, you know, like what people would think, and, you know, like anything that could make myself uncomfortable. So it's a really like sacred, safe space. So when I came back and I was like, okay, can come back to where? Because
yes.
After so long, you know, having a lifestyle that is so different from the system we need to, you know, somehow maintain to survive. And it's quite a, it's like, it's impossible basically to be the same person, right? Like all the emotions and feelings comes and
you don't probably even want. You probably don't even want to be the same person, because that's as well why you did this experience, no? To find different ways and...
Yes, yes. The best way for me to, well, the first step, let's say, was going to the Amazon, going back to the Amazon. That was the very first campaign I had in my life. It was also one of the harassments I had, harassment stories. But this time, you know, for the Amazon campaign, the indigenous causes, which also has been part of my life pretty much in my beginning of the activism, and also, you know, everything related to that. Even though I don't live in Brazil anymore, I'm very connected to everything that happens there, you know, politically, economically. It's very hard to don't keep my eyes open for all these stories, especially with the government we're facing now, which doesn't really care for the environment and social environmental issues in general. I mean, one beautiful thing that I always carry in my heart is the relationship with time. Because when you are sailing, it's just like, it seems that everything is has a different proportion, a different dimension, a different opportunity for yourself to just don't. There's no space for sabotage, right? Like, because I have the feeling sometimes when you are in town, you know, and then it's like, yeah, there's a friend that maybe might be calling you, or a lot of meetings happening for work, you know, in your life. It's just like happening, and then you don't see things very much. While at sea, I had the opportunity to observe my feelings, to observe marine life. You know, if it's a cloudy day, accept and embrace the cloudy and rainy day. If it's a wonderful day, yeah, let's go out there, stay, you know, and observe all the whales we might have to be able to see, and the life happening just in front of you. So I think it's very, all the senses are there, you know, like you breathe the ocean, you see the ocean, you experience the whole thing in one moment. And this relationship with time for me, it was never the same when I jumped on board. So it was really special for me to experience that with different organizations, also my sailboat and friends' boats too, you know, and get a different perspective of people, how people can live with less. Well, less objects, less money, less worries too, right? Yes. Swimming with whales in Tonga, which is one of my favorite islands in the South Pacific Islands, my favorite places in the world. One of my favorite places in the world, but yeah, yeah, it's very pristine, magic. It's just like the best experience I can ever remember myself living, swimming with whales, humpback whales in Tonga, and then actually be able to hear their singing and their song, or they're talking, but to me it was singing, but it was just like touching my heart. And I was on the water, it's like, oh my god, I can hear the whale singing on the water, and I can feel the sound in my body, vibrating my body. So that was quite magical and special. Also, of course, you know, the two-year campaign in Antarctica, I had the opportunity and the privilege to work on Sea Shepherd and participate on that through images and through such emotional times, right? Because when you were out there in such like a, it's a place like far away from everything, and it's still wonderful, it's still beautiful. And it was hard for me to believe that for many, many, many years, the Japanese fleet was just there to clear whales with no, like, no control, nobody was there. So having this around 30 to 40 people destined, like with the object, the main focus to stop the killing was something really, really powerful, really, really powerful. I will never forget a campaign I was working in 2011 when the Japanese fleet left. And when the Japanese fleet left, I was just like looking at each other, like all the crew that was there sitting and crying, hugging each other. It's like, yeah, you know, even though we know the battle is not over, we know you're moving forward. We know that we saved, you know, like several lives. And this is the most important thing. So I guess it's a mixed feelings on, you know, knowing that we have a big challenge ahead of us, but also this amazing beauty to observe and be part of it, understand that we're all one for real, you know, and if we don't embrace that concept and make it happen through our attitude, our actions, and informing people through education, through programs, and even at home with your friends, your family. This is the only way. So the ocean experience and the colleagues and friends I made, everything helps me to be a better person. And for me, living close to the water, it's definitely something very important. For a few years of my life regarding to work, I had to be a little far from the ocean, I mean far an hour, but yeah, it's still like I can see the power of changing and how it makes me stronger and happier when I close to the water. So it's really powerful.
I completely get that one. I don't live so close to the ocean at the moment, especially, And I really miss it. I miss it so much. I mean, I completely understand what you're saying. And I think that when you were talking about the feeling of being connected and the oneness, that we are all part of this big whole. We are part of it. We are not separated from each other. There is no separation. I think that many people might not feel it when they are. I did not feel it before, neither. When I was doing just my daily things, routine, I had to work and this and that, a lot of stress. You don't even have the time to feel one with everything because you're just focused on all the things you have to do to make your bucket list, to make your list, your daily list, what you have to do, right? And I think that's why it is so important to step back sometimes and to take yourself the time to just go out in the forest, sit there for a while with no internet connection, with no phone, out on the sea, you don't have internet connection. So you don't even fall into this trap of, okay, I don't have anything to do, it's boring, I check out what's going on in others' life. Like, this is something where I really believe that it's interesting how people are so much in this world of online, like all the time. We are now talking online, but this is for another purpose. But if you're still, we are connected here, but we are connected outside too. And when you don't feel that, and when you're not giving yourself the opportunity to feel it, mm-hmm. you cannot even get into it. You cannot understand it. I think we need to really feel this to understand it. What we don't feel, we can't understand. So the feeling is so much needed. You do a lot of workshops and things with kids as well, right?
Yes. This is something that really makes me happy. It's a program that I do on storytelling for kids. I create a scenario with a video and, you know, a little stories that I actually lived my own while saving the ocean, or trying to, at least with you know, other activists and for different organizations. So yeah, it's a very beautiful way to reach the new generation. I really love it because it teaches me so much, you know, and even though I'm bringing stories, real stories, to inspire them and make them think about the reality we're living, we have through the things that I have experienced on my activism, what they bring me, what they share with me, it's so amazing. It's really, really incredible how kids are so open, smart, intelligent. And so it's been a great accomplishment here in Portugal, where I live nowadays, in the past year, moving from London, before that Amsterdam, I was living there. I just did it more than 30 schools, and the feedback, it's always fantastic. My life, it's basically nowadays trying to bring awareness to different generations through my book, through stories, mediation and podcast events. And I really love it because, you know, I think we always have the chance and opportunity to bring knowledge to people in a very humble and nice way. Even if we have specialists and people talking about it, we can find the formats that will touch people's heart. And this is what I'm interested. I'm not interested in the, the knowledge and the complicated worlds and, you know, like, oh yeah, the power of this and that. And it's really more about bringing information the most simple and beautiful way, and see how we can do that together. It's not like it's your fault or whatever, you know, like it's not my approach, nothing wrong. I think every person has its own ways to talk about what you're living in the world, but I really love it to find a very warm, loving communication. You know, my background is journalism and filmmaking. So this is one of the things that I love from my career, that I can find many different ways, even theater that I studied for a few years as well. How touching people's hearts in with different ways and different strategies. Also, you know, bringing the experience I have with all the organizations I have worked, and I had the chance to observe other people or learn, like in the field, right? Between real storms and arrestments and all these tough situations that we know that it's not easy. Right, because you give up from your comfort, your warmth of the house, and all the warmth of the house, and anything that you would like to eat and do anytime you want. And then when you are at sea, when you are, you know, working in the field, sometimes in a place that you don't have access to everything, it really teaches on how to be humble in this life and how to appreciate small things, you know, just like this little sunshine touching your face, you know, just a nice breeze in a hot day, or walking barefoot in the place that you love and breathe the air that, you know, like, and be thankful to things. I guess this is the only motivation that I have in my life. Appreciate this, what we have here and now.
Yeah, I think the power of the now, that's something really, really big. What we many times completely forget, we are sometimes living in the past or already in the future, which is not even there yet. And I think if you focus really on what's happening here now, you are creating the future and you can consciously choose how you want to create it. And that's so amazing. Well, I have two or three more questions because I know that our time is a bit limited today. Very short questions. When people tell you, well, you alone can't make a difference, just because you do this and that, it doesn't change anything. What would you be your answer to this? What would you tell these people?
Well, first of all, feel sorry for them.
Yes, that's a good one.
Sorry, guys. You know, like, you're what kind of hope you have in your destiny? Oh my God. Well, I mean, I think it's a interesting question, right? It's an interesting approach because we are facing a moment of a lot of anger in the world, right? Like, I guess the whole situation we are living now with the you know, political extremes, you know, like, even people that doesn't believe in science, it's just crazy. And it's, for me, it's really shocking to see these movements happening. I mean, it's not that never existed, we know, right? We, like, through history, we always had something bizarre happening. But I also believe that, you know, as much as we have difficult people and visions, like radical visions like this, also believe in people that wanted to be here to change. And as individual, it is hard, but it is possible. It has to start for something, you know? And if it's not you and me and our neighbors, you know, like, in this group growing, and then how, you know? I needed argument for this person who says this, because, of course, we have a huge problem, right? We have several documentaries which talks about and bring awareness and industry and how we're going to face, you know, for instance, endangered species from the ocean, right? Like, people are still very resistant when you talk about veganism. And I think we have to see from our own eyes if it doesn't stop and see and change our attitude, not supporting companies that are destroying the world. And then, yeah, okay, eventually we'll feel the consequences. If you have kids, if you have a family, they will feel that. And then perhaps it's like, oh, I should have tried something else, or I should have done this and that, you know? So I think it's people from our side, let's say, like, well, you know, we at least have our conscious free. We are happy from, you know, the path we're taking, bringing awareness, information, and also hope for people, right? Because otherwise, what is the meaning of life if you're here just like not believing or anything, not doing anything, you know, being generous to people, right? I think it's a combination of things. When I talk about ocean preservation, forest preservation, I'm also talking about human preservation, right?
Yes, it's all connected. It's all one topic.
Exactly. It's all one topic. We know there is no planet B, and this is our only chance. I know Elon Musk is trying really hard to make Mars happen, but it's just something really distant for me, you know, like all the spatial garbage happening, and it's hard to ignore, right, all these problems. I mean, I think all technology, it can come to our favor and help us in many things. Look at this, right? We're in Germany, in Portugal, we're talking, this is fantastic. But also be very conscious about and what we consume and how we consume. And then, yes, I think individuals can change, because if every individual changes, we are already collective. And this is the thing that I believe, and I have been holding this for my entire life since I found out that, oh my God, yes, I can, you know, reunite 200 people here to do a beach cleanup at the age 14, or I can be with, you know, like thousands of people doing an action in the streets of my hometown to protect the Amazon or to protect the, you know, the Antarctica or anywhere else in the world. So I feel good when I put my body and my camera and my knowledge and my book or anything I can do, you know, to bring love, hope, and actions, right? It's not just a concept, it's a possibility. And I think as human beings, we should hold this responsibility, right, for life, or not only for yourself, but for the others too.
Completely. I think so too. It's not just a concept, it's something what we can live and what we can create. We have a chance to do, to be part of it. And it's something beautiful, like you say, it is giving us as well so much back. It's not, I, for example, don't do all of what I do just for others. I do it as well for me. And I feel good when I do it. And I wish that people feel how it feels. So they start to do it because it's beautiful. Yeah, exactly. That one last, so you obviously you have some hope, right?
I do have hope. Again, I mean, from all the facts and from science, I don't think I would see that in the next 30 or 40 years. I think it's a gradual change that might happen if we take action collectively, if the companies rethink how they're working, how they're treating people, how they're looking at environmental issues. And then, yeah, so I do have hope, but I don't know if I'm gonna see them, you know, from my own eyes. And if I become a little star in the sky, I just hope to, you know, to see people developing themselves, you know, and not waiting for a catastrophe or something terrible happen to, you know, to see more people die and more animals dying. You know, and hope for me, it's everything. I like to wake up in the morning, know that I have a purpose. And then, you know, the whole dimension of all the actions I take, it's it just brings me strength to continue and engage more people and bring that consciousness to other people too. The past 2 years, on the 8th of March of 2019, me and two colleagues, and, you know, after that, more women got involved. To found and co-found the Women's League for the Ocean, which is a movement of women. Now, right now, more than 2,300. And the idea is to bring awareness from the ocean in different levels, right? But basically having all different kinds of women working from different places of the world, scientists, artists, athletes, singers. And it's really fascinating to see so many women are out there, you know, trying to help the ocean, different fields, right, of working, but interested to do that, willing to do that, doing it, yes. Making it happen. So it's a big accomplishment and happiness for me to have, you know, three digital campaigns and trying to create educational programs as well, each one in this in its own NGO or company or work, you know, we don't have this how to say that, this label. The most important thing, the number one thing is the all these women together, they're, you know, doing the best as possible to talk about the you know, our life and our sea. Right. When I think about every time I think about it, more than 60% of the oxygen we breathe, it comes from the ocean. It's like, oh my God, there's no way I can't do something ocean related.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's a passion, it's a necessity. And yeah, and I feel very happy to be part of this with so many amazing professionals and all passionate about the same thing as we are, right?
I totally agree 100%. Well, yeah, it's just amazing to hear you, to talk to you. It feels so comfortable to talk to you because we share the same passion. And I think what I would like to hear as well, what I think what the community would like to hear, so what is your biggest message right now in a short like some sentences, what is the biggest thing you want to share with the community right now in this moment?
Well, time's now. That's it. Yes, time is now, and I mean, it's time to act, it's time to believe, it's time to take action. And I encourage people, you know, of course, ocean is my passion. Forest has been one of, you know, the main topics also in my life, on my work. But also I encourage people to just find one thing to do to help humanity, to help marine life, to help anything, you know, as you're saying, like, oh yeah, I feel good about it when I do something good, when I'm generous, when I give a hand to someone that needs it. So yes, I would say, like, find something that helps somebody, help someone, help Earth, because we need it. So the time is now, we know that. And yeah, I think if you do one little thing, 5 minutes per day, it won't hurt. And it feels so good. So my message says time is now, and find your little thing, you know. And nobody has to say, and it doesn't have to be a big organization, doesn't have to be anything, you know, related to a company or whatever. It's just like, it can be your own attitude. It is already something, right? And this is something that we are, every day, right? We have a decision that can impact so many people, right? When you buy coffee, when you go out in the street, oh, I'm going to use the bus or the bike, or it's like, it's simple things. We all know that, right? The ours, right? Recycle, reuse it, da, da, da. But I think it's a new way of living that we all have to embrace it. I'm not here to give lessons, I encourage people, just encourage people to think about the now time and do something for everyone, for yourself as well.
Thank you, Barbs. This was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of your message and all of your knowledge and your experiences from the last years. And I will definitely put the link of your book and your website in the show notes. And I hope that all of the people who were listening now, you from the Sounds Planet community, that you can take so much from this half an hour we shared now together. Take it deep inside, think about it, and maybe, yes, find your little thing, like Barbara says. Thank you, Barbara, for your time and your dedication. And it's amazing. Thank you so, so, so much. And I'm very happy to have had you as a podcast guest today. I wish you all the best luck. And I'm pretty sure that we will stay connected and in touch. And that we can share a lot, even in the next month or years, about all these topics, because I think we have a lot to share there. And we are very much connected with the same topics as well. Thank you for your time. It was amazing to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Meg, for inviting me and bringing so many interesting stories to make people think and rethink and take action, right? It's so wonderful to see that it doesn't matter really what you do in your life, but if you have good intentions and a good heart, I do believe things go back to you. So I think you're doing that, and it's great to be part of it. And yeah, thank you so much, and see you soon.
Yeah, see you very soon. Bye, Barbara. Thank you so much.
Bye. Ciao. Thank you.